of the, what the Lippmanns and the others.
Well, learning about Lippmann produces the idiotic idea. But I mean, it's practical ideas very often very silly. As a result was that, of course, attacked by both sides straightforwardly. Conor Cruz O'Brien, who accused me of sitting on the fence, not in writing, and what's his name, somebody attacked me in the Spectator, I remember, who was it, somebody conservative, the present editor of the Sunday Telegraph, Westhorn.
Is it still the
Telegraph?
The Sunday Telegraph,
yes.
What's his name?
Peregrine Westhorn. Yes, he attacked me in quite the summer, I think, in the Spectator, for saying, really, one can't be on both sides at once. I mean, as a make-up one's mind, and clearly, so to speak, I'm not known to be a left-wing, so I ought to have come down heavily on the side of the Americans, and no nonsense. All this finicking, not knowing, was sort of explaining what position was not really clear, that won't do. So I got into trouble with both sides. I remember I had a friend called Burton Muller, who was a, it doesn't matter who, I mean, he was just an old aesthete of England, of German origin, well, ultimately. He was an American who went to school in England, who I knew, rich man, who lived in Boston. Was very rich and very finicky and very aesthetic, very homosexual and very left-wing. What? Burton Muller. B-U-R-D-O-N. Half English, half German, I mean. He accused me of saying what I said in order not to displease McGeorge Bundy, who had given me so much money for Wolfson. That was the worst insult ever delivered. And I refused to speak to him for about 6 months.
Did he
read it to me.
No,
that was enough.
Yes,
he may have written to others too. He read it to me, saying, I realize, of course, your view is absurd. Naturally, you didn't want to speak. In other words, I was trying to suck up to me, to my benefactor. Try to sort of flatter him in some way. Or be, keep in with him, as you might say. That really did irritate me. Straight insult that was. And, I mean, accusation of total lack of integrity, which I didn't much like.
Now,
that's what I mean by saying, that's why I want, that the fact I did so hate writing about the Vietnam War, you see, proved to me that I was not a suitable professor of political theory. However much I might know about other people's views.
Well, if this, that's what you're, that's your feeling, would Flamenat have his opinion for
that? Maybe not. He did have views, but I don't think he thought it necessary. Flamenat was entirely historically minded. Not even historically. He liked analysis. He was not a good historian, a bad historian. But he was in very careful, scrupulous, intellectual analysis. And he thought that was quite enough. Maybe it is quite enough.
But
I didn't agree.
Now, the article on Vietnam, did anybody want to include it in the volume of, let's say, Against the Current?
No.
Did they know about it?
I doubt it. But it wasn't long enough. For 200 odd, it's just a reaction. I mean, 80 words, 150 words. 300 words. You see, one of them simply said, the Americans are in Vietnam, I think they shouldn't have got in, and they should get out. Signed. I mean, it needn't have been longer than that.
Now, generally speaking, I think now that I thought once that you were always happy in All Souls. Now I have the feeling that it was not the case. I mean, that you had your periods there.
This is correct. I was perfectly happy in All Souls in the 30s.
You were happy.
As a young man, yes.
Now, even socially, it was, of course, very establishment, and...
No, not at all.
Even then?
Half and half. The important people were governed, were the part of the government of England. Governing class. Yes, so I knew, one discovered how things were done. It was fascinating. They were mostly conservative and reactionary. Some were nice, like Avery. Some were not.
Was nice.
Oh, yeah, very. Very nice man. Very nice man indeed. Very, absolutely honest. Absolutely a man of unimpeachable integrity. Honest, clear, very responsible, serious, and decent in every possible way. And terribly heavy and rather boring. Oh, yes, yes.
All class in his diaries.
I'm sure.
All the qualities you mentioned. The heaviness on the one hand, but being so earnest.
Totally earnest. He bought the cabinet, according to, who was it, someone told me, I think Donald Somerville, who was something like Solicitor General, I think, bought his government. Maybe an Attorney General. He bought the cabinet with expounding conservative ideology, derived from Milner. The conservatives didn't want to have ideology, so they prided themselves on having none. And they were very, very bored by these heavy lectures. I used to hear him make half-dinner speeches in All Souls. The longer he went on, the duller he became, and the more benevolent one felt towards him. I felt very well. One didn't mind. He was such a nice man, but although it was boring, one felt very well disposed. One was never exactly, one had no negative feelings. At least I didn't. He believed in Austria-Hungary, of course, and was violently anti-appeasement.
Very right-wing,
yes.
But violent after.
Well, some people were, of course.
Very right.
Very, yes.
To the extent that at a certain period he was evaluating what was more important to encounter Russia or Germany.
Yes, yes, yes.
But,
yes, certainly. Austria-Hungary is what he thought was a perfect, perfect kingdom. Partly his Hungarian blood, probably.
Easy.
We are told. I used to think that Emery was Emmerich. He doesn't. Emery is an English name. The Hungarian blood came with his mother.
Yes, I mean, he's, on his father's side, he's from Cornwall or Devon.
Absolutely. Otto is Mary, the mother is. I didn't know what she was, but... I'll tell you, she was the sister of Hamar Greenwood, who was responsible for the Black and Tans. So she was a Miss Greenwood, presumably. But she must have had her mother, something. I mean, he wasn't more than a quarter, but couldn't be more than it. So I didn't get much to do with it. He looked rather Hungarian.
Who?
Emery.
Emery, that's it.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Short, tough. Because Hungarian looked like that a bit.
Yes. Now, and so back to All Souls. I mean, on the whole, you like this period.
Very much, of course. My contemporaries were very progressive, very nice, and imaginative and delightful. Some of them were very nice, agreeable to talk to. The life in All Souls was intellectually very stimulating, which it was not elsewhere. My 2 months in New College were, I think, the dreariest months I ever spent in my entire life. I became a lecturer in September 1932. I was the protege of Crossman's that period. I've never been in such a boring common room in all my life. I really was unhappy. I'm bored, unhappy. They were pompous, they were dull, they were disapproving. I've never met a body which I so inhibited me. Also, this was total liberation.
And you know, the image is entirely different. The Souls was very snobbish, and the New College was very... lively.
The exact opposite is true. Exact opposite is true. There were 3 lively people in New College Common Room. The rest were gargoyles. Fish. Fischer was all right. Crossman was not a nice man, but he was somebody. My uncle Christopher Cox is an amusing and very agreeable ancient historian. And there was a kind of jester, old Casson, who was an archaeologist. Apart from that, there was absolutely nobody to talk to. Oh, Smith, philosopher I liked very much. Who became the warden? Yes, he was amusing. Amusing, agreeable man. But of no intellectual interest.
Now,
ideas were never, never discussed in New College, in my presence.
And also had a very good period. Who was the warden?
Had the warden under me. I was elected under Chelmsford, who was warden for 6 months. He died about 6 months after he was elected. Then Adams, who was a nice old man, who was not at all intellectual, but was kind and amiable.
So it's not the warden that actually creates this?
No, no, not in all sales. Well, it can do. Adams was a kind of nice old farmer. It made no difference. Basically, on the whole, I mean, the college ran quite peacefully and people did what they liked. People were, he had very little to do with elections. He was modest and not intellectual, let the other fellows do what they wanted. After him came Sumner, who was an eminent Russian historian from Balliol, yes, whom I didn't really like very much. Other people also adored him. He was very nervous, very suspicious of me. Thought I was just a chatterbox. But just because I'd done well in the war, in my famous dispatches, decided to get me back. He was entirely influenced by what might be called conventional, since the bien pensant opinion. And because some of the fellows of all sales spoke very well about, favorably, of my work during the war, he changed his attitude. But fundamentally never liked me very much. But he couldn't resist. He wanted me back because they all said how marvelous I was. So that influenced him. And that's why I despise him rather. He had no real independent view of his own. He was always wanted to keep in with people whom he regarded as the right kind of people who held the right kind of opinions.
Now, in 45, you again became a research fellow.
In 50.
What, between 45 and 50?
I was in New College.
Still in your college?
Yeah.
And still the same atmosphere? Still the
same program? No. No, it changed during the war. Fisher was dead. Smith was warden. Some of the older fellows disappeared. Some young men came in. James Joel became a fellow. Bullock became a fellow. And I did like him. A little bit. Nevertheless, when I used to go and dine at All Souls, I felt myself to be in a different atmosphere, which was more congenial to me.
In the atmosphere after the war, what was it like in All Souls?
Well, some of these old men had, I mean, were gone. Simon didn't live very long. Dawson also not. That sort of heavy British Empire group. Simon wasn't part of that. But the sort of British liberal imperialists, they'd gone. And so it was all right. It was just perfectly nice, agreeable, easygoing. Enjoyable. Nothing like so much, exactly. Well, the only Douglas Jay was the only minister we had in All Souls, in the Labour government. I don't think we had others. We had the editor of the Sunday Times, we had Michael Hodson. We had still some conservative MPs, certainly. I mean, Donald Somerville, yes. No, he died fairly soon after. When did Amory die? Not long after the war.
No, I mean, he was in Israel in Israel, and he came to the state of Israel. You thought he...
No, that he would, yes. Well, he must have died in the 50s. Yes, he probably came. He came to Orthodox after the war, certainly. Certainly he did.
And
he used to bring Julian to dinner. That's right. I'm trying to remember who of the old lot. Simon is alive. Halifax is alive.
And was he coming?
Yes, he came a certain amount. After Eden, although he was chancellor, you see. He came. Yes, he was chancellor. He wasn't a fellow, but he came. He certainly came and died occasionally. Well, yes, he certainly came. Came to Gordy's. Wait a moment, who else? But he was not in power during the Labour government. He wasn't in power during the Conservative government either. When he came back from America, he was no longer held any job. Churchill didn't like him. I mean, he was rather disappointed. Expected something. I'm trying to think who else there was of that sort in All Souls. Well,
Copeland was not alive.
Copeland, yes. Copeland was certainly alive in 51. Yes.
And he was in Oxford.
Copeland was at All Souls. Yes. He lived in a house by himself, although he was a bachelor. He died in the 50s. He was still a fellow in 51. He said he took part in the election. Copeland, yes. I'm trying to think. Who else?
Cyril Falls was there.
Cyril Falls, yes. Professor, yes. But it wasn't like the oldest said. They weren't the governing class. They weren't at all, no. Didn't count for these purposes. No, I mean, I'm trying to think, certainly no Labour ministers, apart from Jay, and Crocker, yes, and during Conservative governments, well, Donald Somerville was ill, he was the Home Secretary in the caretaker government, he was a lawyer, a chemist by origin. Wait a moment, who else might there have been? Simon, yes. Still about. I cannot think of anybody else. But Lang was dead, fairly suicide fairly soon. Dawson certainly didn't function. Certainly not editor. He ceased to be editor during the war. I mean, Barrington Ward. Surely came in during the war. Well, who else could there have been? Oh, well, Bridges was there. Yes, he was there, yes. Secretary of the Cabinet, yes.
When was he elected?
When was he elected?
Who did they call him?
Bridges was elected by the Prize Fellow.
Oh,
him? No. In about 1922. You mean Edward Bridges?
No.
Well, Edward Bridges born about 1900.
What was he, historian, philosopher?
I don't know what he was elected as, but he went to civil service immediately.
You said Prize Fellow?
Prize Fellow means elected as an undergraduate, I mean, after like me. Age of 21, continuously.
All along?
May have ceased, like, Emery wasn't there continuously. He ceased to be a fellow, and then was re-elected, like me. Bridges, I think, ceased to be a fellow. The Quondam Fellow, and then was made a fellow again. And he was certainly there in the 60s.
And was he interesting man?
No, he was a very nice man. He was a man of unimpeachable integrity. He was boyish. He was I liked him. I liked talking to him. He was lively. He was a man of great honor, extremely high-minded, and a man of powerful character. And interesting, no.
He
certainly... Absolutely. He governed England. He governed England. I know he did. But he wasn't...
And one could see that he was very decent.
He was not very interesting. And he more or less died of overwork in the end.
But he also...
Yes. He ceased to be a come to All Souls when he was when he was scandalized by what happened. When it's a story that I needn't tell you because it's nothing to do with me. First, All Souls discovered they had too much money. So then they thought they would have graduate students. Then the Franks Commission was called to examine Oxford. Bridges appeared as one of the delegates from All Souls. He was in favor of having graduates. Then the college changed its mind. Bridges said, I'm not in the habit of eating my words, and resigned. He was persuaded not to resign, but he never came back. He thought he'd been betrayed. He thought his reputation was tarnished. He promised something to the Franks Commission, and the college didn't fulfill it. In that degree of vanity he did have.
I mean, it's vanity.
Well, he was a very eminent person. He made a formal promise, an important person. He was committed himself to a policy. And the policy which the college has voted for. And then without telling him, they simply changed their mind. He thought that was disgusting. At least you ought to have been consulted. At least you ought to have been made to try and persuade them.
And I think he was right.
Absolutely.
So it's not
them? Happened with Sparrow who did it. We didn't like him at all. We didn't like the humorless Aristides quality of this. The just man. He had the reputation of being the completely just man. Well, I like just men. But some people are maddened by them. Don't like that sort of high-minded, priggish, wickamist sort of... I think it was Newtonian. I think so, yes. Yes.
Now, did you ever discuss with him Zionism? But,
no, I don't think I did. I don't know why not, but we didn't. I'm sure I could have done, and I'm sure he'd been quite reasonable.
He knew a lot.
Must have done. Was he anti-Zionist?
No.
Neither for nor against?
No, but at a certain moment, he represented the Foreign Office opinion against Churchill.
So, yes.
I'm sure that he did it because he thought that
that's for civil service.
One of the things that Churchill was irresponsible. I mean, you know, Churchill would come in the morning.
When was this? We're doing the war, yes. Well, I'm sure the Eden, who was the foreign secretary, was Eden.
Yes.
Well, you see.
I tell you, the point was that the way he worked with Churchill was that they knew each other well.
Yes.
And Churchill would come to wake up in the morning with 10 bright ideas, 8 or 9 men.
No good, yes.
And one good or not, and Bridges on the one hand, and Allanbrook on the other hand.
Calmed him down.
So, when it came to such issues, I mean, Bridges considered himself sometimes to be more than just the secretary.
Oh, certainly.
He was an issue. And what was, I'm going to tell you a terrific story. When Churchill decided to establish the Cabinet Commission on Palestine Prophecy, the very fact that he established the commission was already a counter-move.
It's the Foreign Office. The White Paper.
The policy of the Foreign Office and the Foreign Office. It's incredible.
Against the White Paper, yes.
Even further. I mean, he got many memoranda by ministers.
Same.
And so it was going anti-Zionism, and he cut it. By
Churchill.
Incredible. Now, then, there was a full cabinet meeting in June 43, a discussion, again, and even Wavell was present. The move was turning against the Zionists.
Surely.
And again, Churchill made the conclusion, and the conclusions were...
What do you want?
To establish a commission to discuss politics for after the war, post-war policy, and to begin with considering the Peel report, which meant a lot. And then Bridges, as usual, had to write the conclusions.
Minutes.
Minutes, sorry. minutes and conclusion. And it's the only time I remember that he wrote conclusions.
The decision. By conclusion, you mean what the cabinet decided?
Yes. And part of the minutes.
Yes.
And Churchill corrected. In a rather rebukeful
way. Yeah, quite.
Incredible. He rephrased the conclusions are the, it's called conclusions are the decisions of the
cabinet. The cabinet, of course, yes. Yes, ABC, yes.
Churchill forced him to rewrite the conclusions in the way he wanted it to be. He forced him to add to the minutes some parts, and that's why they look not coherent enough, because Churchill...
The conclusion didn't follow from the minutes.
And he forced them, there is a sentence there. Well, and I want the commission to be consisted of X, Y, Z. And he agreed with the suggestion of Bridges, and then, and Julia, and Leopold Emery, who knows a lot about Palestine, and that's not the reason not to edit him.
Right. Very typical Churchill. Yeah.
And it was the only time that I saw collision. Churchill reacting,
collision.
And I wrote so many,
collision.
I read so many.
But Bridges accepted it.
And then he was the secretary of the cabinet committee.
He was of that cabinet committee.
Yes, because it was the most, one of the two, three most secret committees.
Of course.
It's incredible how secret it is and why. But that's
really and yet it leaked to Weizmann.
It leaked to Weizmann. But
quite definitely. Who leaked it? It was done more or less officially. The Foreign Office knew it had been leaked to him.
Didn't know the exact. Who were the members of the commission?
Really?
He knew about two or three. He had mistakes. Weizmann.
Weizmann, yes. Weizmann. Nobody gave him a list.
And he knew, he sensed about one or two. Buffy Dugdale learned about it something and told
from Walter Elliott.
And though in 43 Walter Elliott was not in...
he probably did gossip. Probably covered for Walter Elliott in 43. He was a member of Parliament.
He was a member.
Yes, well,
he was not a minister.
No, but he was probably gossiped.
Yes.
Talked to people who were. A super secret, I understand. Now, who were they? I'm amusing. And I'll tell you.
Was Morrison.
That's right. And there were. And let me tell you what I seem to remember, what Goldman told me. I learned of it after all. So Morrison was a chairman. There was Emery. There was Oliver Stanley.
It was Clinton already. No, Stanley.
Stanley was Stanley, Stanley, Stanley. Colonial Secretary.
Stanley Oliver Stanley.
Colonial Secretary. The Foreign Office represented by Dick Law.
Exactly.
I knew.
Exactly.
He didn't refuse.
Very
what?
Dick Law was very intelligent.
But he represented the Foreign Office point of view.
Not to the extent they wanted.
I see, because I thought he was against.
No, he was better than the Foreign Office.
He would be.
There was a moment he said, that's my opinion, and I want to bring the Foreign Office.
Yes, I was like that. But he was a very nice man. And decent. And very decent by Jews. He was not that Semite like Eden.
No, he was not at all.
Not at all, I knew him well.
I knew him very well.
I don't know why he became so terribly reactionary towards the end of his life. He did. Totally reaction. He was embittered somehow. He was a progressive minister.
I know.
I knew him very well. I knew him exactly then. And I used to see him. He was in Washington. We made friends. I stayed with him. Dick Law. Yes, you see. I actually stayed with him.
He was disappointed, probably.
Yes, he was shoved aside by Eden. He was dreadfully jealous. Was violently jealous of him. Violently. Because he was a promising man. Wanted to sort of prime minister, maybe, etc. New dealish, in a way. No, he was on it, yes. I know. And wait a minute, who else?
Archibald Sinclair.
Yes.
Because of being a liberal, and he was a
liberal. I represented that, yes. Who else could have been?
Not at all. I mean, Morrison, Emery, Dick Lowe, Oliver Stanley, Archibald Sinclair.
Enough?
Maybe one. Enough?
But what other ministers are there? I mean, who else could have been? Not Anderson.
No.
Nobody like that, you see. No, not Treasury. Foreign Office, Colonial Office, India Office, all right. That was Emery's official reason being on it.
And to Colonial Secretary.
Quite. You see.
I have to check if Cambon was there.
No. Couldn't have been. Because he was number two in the Foreign Office.
Lord?
Lord Becomit. Grandman was then... No, what was Grandman Minister of? Defense. What? Different Colonial Office?
Two separate... He
was never Colonial Secretary. Surely. What was he?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. Okay. We moved to Dominions. And Dominion and the Colonial Office were different.
Different.
Well, that's when he made that speech about Struma and Patria, too. But that's when he was in the Foreign Office.
Salisbury, you mean young Salisbury?
Yes, yes.
No, he was Colonial Secretary.
He became, he was number two in the Foreign Office under Eden. Before the war.
But in the war...
Wait a minute. After the war, during the war...
For a while, Lloyd was Colonial Secretary.
Correct.
And then Cambon.
Could well be.
And then Oliver Stanley.
At the beginning of the war, he was not dead.
No, he was not. Lloyd was.
And so what was Cambon? He was something.
But he was Dominion. Minister of the Dominions.
What are we talking about?
All right.
Oh, Lord.